Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. Information here is inspired by spirit and brought to you by me, your spirit messenger, Nicole Quinn. Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks for joining me today. Today's show is, as always, inspired by spirit, and in that spirit, I'm going to just let everyone know that I just pulled a card, so I thought it would be nice to start the show off with some kind of an inspirational theme. And today I decided to pull from the Animal Dreaming Oracle cards by Scott Alexander King. He's actually from Australia, and all of the animals that are in this deck are Australian. So I don't know all of them, but I pulled this card, and it's called either thylacine or thylacine. It looks like a mythical type of dingo-type creature, and it's called, the card is called Wisdom. So guess what I found out when I checked out the meaning, because these cards I'm not as familiar with. This is something that I've been talking about a lot lately, so I think it's kind of funny that of all the cards, this is the one that I pulled. It says, when life becomes overwhelming, excessively busy, or too fast, thylacine advocates having the good judgment to withdraw from the mob and walk alone for a spell, perhaps spending time exploring the truths buried deep within the inner landscape. Thylacine offers a time of calm, the chance to contemplate our purpose and reasoning, rather than seeking the counsel of others. She espouses quality time spent in solitude. She prompts us to stop and ask, what is the purpose of my life? Why have I experienced all that I have? Why am I here? And there's more, but I think you get the gist of it. And in general, one of the things that comes to me a lot, when I'm dealing with people and I'm asking for guidance on what to tell them, or if it's with myself, stop asking everybody else what the right thing to do is. You already know what the right thing is, and all that you're doing by asking all these people, what do I do or what do you think, is you're avoiding doing it yourself, okay? Every single time I talk to people, and I talked about this before as well, these people who are like serial workshop takers, you can keep taking all those workshops, but in the end, if you really want to do this, you have to just do it. You can't keep getting a new skill, every single week and never actually exercise any of it. You can't keep thinking there's another teacher that's going to tell you something you don't know. The only person that's going to tell you what you don't know is you. And how you do that is this inner landscape. You go inside yourself, and I'm not saying, turn your eyeballs inside out and, check out your organs. I'm talking about turning all the distractions off, calming yourself down. I mean, God knows the people that are listening today may be listening with, a whole bunch of other things turned on in their house or people talking or whatever else. I mean, our multitasking abilities have gotten really good, but you don't know what you're missing because you're not focusing on any one thing. So how do you know what you're missing? You need to learn how to focus, and you do that with meditation, because meditation makes you focus on only what you're doing within yourself, and that exploring of your inner space. It's not trying to figure out anything. It's not overthinking. It's all the stuff that is the opposite of what we try to do all day long. But you have to be able to start doing this, because if you don't, you're never going to be able to hear your own inner voice. And so one of the biggest things that, I get is, you get people that call in or that, during a reading will ask, when am I going to meet my love life? When am I going to have a better love life? When am I going to meet my soulmate? And it's like, do you really think you're going to sit down across from a person, they're going to tell you you're going to meet them on December 14th, 2012, and they'll have a yellow shirt and dark hair? You might find somebody who can tell you that, but I don't think that's respectful of your ability to be able to manifest and alter your own path as you're on it. I mean, being on Earth, okay, a spirit in a body, is no different from being in a car. You'd be the spirit, the car would be your body. And let's say you decide, I want to go to the store. Well, you don't have any control over whether or not there might be an accident ahead, but sometimes you get those gut feelings and you go a different route. You do have the ability to be able to alter your route. You don't have to go to the same store. You can go to a different location of the same store. You can pick up other friends along the way. I mean, this is what it's all about. It's not about getting to this end state. There is no end state. We all go on forever. If there's any kind of end state, I haven't seen it or heard about it yet, you know. And my guides are usually pretty good. They're usually on the money. Now, once you start to get more of a relationship built with your guides, that's when you're going to start to realize, I don't have to ask anybody what the answer to this question is. The only thing I need to do is ask my guides, if I even need to do that. So it's like, you know, you go and you hang out with a bunch of people, and they're talking about workshops they've gone to. And at first, your ego might think, wow, I haven't taken a class on that. They must be smarter than me. Or, oh, wow, this person's ahead of me because they have like 5 certificates and different things, and I don't. Not necessarily. Those workshops could be their way of avoiding having to just go inside and do the inner work themselves because they're busying themselves with these classes. Or it could be their ego's way of trying to satisfy itself by telling them, yes, you are good. You're good enough to do this because you have these certificates. You don't really need that. You just need to know within yourself that you can and you have the ability to do this. So the biggest thing is simplicity. It's not easy, but it is simple. Simple isn't always easy. That's, you know, people don't mistake that for one for the other. It's not really how it works. When my guides answer me, it's really succinct. It's really simple. It's usually pretty short. And everything can be traced back to the same core. And it's from that core that we create the issues and the problems. And we're telling ourselves that it's this person or that person. It is not. It is our own reaction to however, you know, we decide. We make the decision how to react, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But you have to own your stuff. Now, manifesting. You think of manifesting as something like a wishful thinking that brings about something really instantaneously. No, absolutely not. The issues manifest in different ways as a result of our doing that work without even knowing that's what we're doing. So, like, if you have a financial problem, let's say you're in debt, all of that debt didn't come about overnight. That you worked hard on building that debt and telling yourself it was okay to do what you were doing even though you knew there was a consequence for it. You manifested it. You made it happen. Same thing with weight. And weight is one of those ones that, like, I get really tired of hearing about because everybody just, some people think it's just this big physical thing. It's like if you put this many calories in and you take this many calories out, that equals this equation. Yes, but you're not filtering in the fact that the person has emotions, a limbic system in general, you know, psychologically, a lot of the things that happen with weight manifest as weight because we don't deal with the psychology of it. Now, sure, that's going to sound kind of, I don't know, it's not super specific, but it really is an individual case-by-case business, undertaking. You can't make a generalization. And a lot of times people ask me to make judgment calls, what do you think of this, or generalizations. I would be doing you a disservice if I did that because it's not, that isn't the way life works. So, you know, let's say, how can I put this? Okay, well, I've had issues with my weight. I'm not huge, but I'm definitely not the tiny little size 8 that I used to be back in the day. But, you know, when you get out of high school and you have to face the world, things are different. You don't have the same, you know, attitude about things. You don't really, you don't have to deal with things when you're a student living at home that you do when you get out into the workforce and those different stresses and there's different people around you and there's a lot of stuff going on. So we end up having to avoid some of this just because overload, you know, like, okay, look, I can handle this today, but all of this other stuff I don't even want to deal with. And you find ways to deal with it. Some people drink, some people like to just constantly do things that keep them distracted so they don't have to deal with it. And this can include anything from having multiple jobs or working out 3 hours a day. Whatever it is that you do that you tell yourself, there's no room for this other stuff in my life because I do this, that's usually your clue. You know, you need to make time for exploring these issues because the physical is the last place that all of this crap shows up. It does not start there. And if you can continually take responsibility and be aware of your thoughts and the way that your attitude about things as you go about, you know, your day. You can get a hold of this and you can take control in a way that's not like an ego-based kind of control. It can be like a greater perception that just allows you to use what you have available to you to construct your future. And that's everything. That's your emotions, that's your thoughts. These are the two big ones, is the emotions and the thoughts. And the emotions usually come from the thoughts. And I talk about Byron Katie every once in a while, because really she has that nailed it. She's nailed that down. She has it down. Those thoughts that you think that trigger an emotion, you know, your brain has these synapses and you have like a thought or an object or some a place that is, the synapses have made an association, and that's always there now whenever you think the thought. So if you if you had like a, let's say, an abusive spouse, and every morning when you woke up, that spouse was like smoking a specific brand of cigarette, that smell will trigger that emotion every time you smell it, depending on how long your brain has had to make those associations. Now, that happens without you doing anything, but hello, once you're aware of it, you can do something. So you can break that association. You don't need to get yourself all worked up and spinning out of control emotionally every time you have that smell. That fear doesn't need to come back into your being every time you smell that smell. It's just a trigger. It's just an association. And you, now knowing that it is an association and that's why it's happening, can actually reprogram your brain. You can restructure that little association within your brain. And the way that you do it is by first breaking the pattern. And breaking the pattern just means you interrupt the process. So if you smell that smell, let's say you're out at a restaurant, you know, you got to do something kind of subtle, you know, you can just start snapping your fingers, because that alone will do something to mess with that association. As long as you do something that breaks the pattern, doesn't matter what it is, you can bang your fist on the table, you can clap your hands, you can just get up and start jogging in place. But whatever it is, you can do that. Once you have broken the pattern, now you can reassociate. You can laugh and think of that smell at the same time. And over time, that will start to build a new association in your brain. And once you do that, you don't have to ever worry about that thought giving you trouble again. See, we all have a tendency to run on autopilot. We don't stop and think. We're too busy. That's really not the case. We don't want to do it. We don't want to do it. We want to believe what we want to believe, and we don't want to do anything else, because God forbid that means something, you know, that we weren't aware of and we're caught off guard. It's always the ego that comes up with that stuff. It's never your actual higher self or your soul. And so, you know, a lot of people do walk around with these associations all day long, and it's like a program in a computer. You've popped in that disk, and that's it. But guess what? You can reprogram a computer too, can't you? So if you can kind of do some homework this week, you know, everyone always asks, what can I do for whatever the problem is? Just do this one thing this week. Think of something that sets you off. Something that's a pet peeve is usually a pretty dead giveaway. Like, oh, I hate when people are not organized. Okay, why does that have an effect on you? You know, I'm not organized over here. You don't live in my house. What you need to sit down with yourself and figure out why you have that association, if you can tell why you have the association, and like reprogram it. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with people being disorganized. People being disorganized has nothing to do with me. When you have that, you know, reconnected, I guess is a good way to put it, you don't have to worry about that anymore, because there are people that seriously emotionally spiral out of control when they have these little thoughts. Take responsibility. Own your stuff. I always call it stuff because there's a lot of stuff. You have to own it. And that includes the weight stuff. If you have issues where you're avoiding, you know, one emotion or another, or a person, or let's say you just really don't like to go out and socialize with people. You don't like to be in public places. Well, being in a public place, what does that mean? It means people might judge your behavior. It means they might judge your appearance. You need to look at why you're afraid, because always behind these things there is a fear. Even with self-esteem, you feeling good about yourself, if that's connected to everybody's opinion around you, that's the problem. It's not the fact that you don't feel good about yourself. It's that you're measuring how you feel about yourself through the eyes of other people. You really need to do that yourself. It's not something anybody else can take responsibility for. And, you know, it is a simple thing, and once again, it really isn't easy. And it goes, the same thing goes for being psychic. You know, everyone wants to develop their psychic abilities. Okay, I want to develop my psychic abilities because I know that I'll have all the answers. And what if you don't like the answers? What part of you decides that they're going to come in and, like, interfere? The ego. The ego. I mean, your ego isn't your enemy, but it's like this part of you that's like an untrained dog. You know, if you just let it run amok, it's going to tear your house up. It's going to piss on the rug. It's going to, you know, run out the door, and probably you won't find it in your own backyard. You'll find it three doors down, and it's ripping up somebody else's house. I mean, you really have to take control of your ego in terms of training it. Once you have your ego kind of trained, you will have less of a reaction. I don't think the reaction will ever really completely disappear or dissolve, but I think you can get a handle on it. And you have to learn to live with your ego. You cannot kill it. Why would you want to kill a part of yourself? I think even if you sat down and said, you know what, ego, I really love you. Thank you so much for the job that you do for me in my life. I guarantee you, you'll feel a sense of relief. Because accepting, everything about this life has to do with acceptance. Accepting your ego is actually a really freeing and inspirational kind of thing to do for yourself, because it tells you, I have the ability to adapt. I have the ability to accept. It just brings out all of this good stuff in you. I don't know why people have to fight so hard, except for the fact that it's the ego and you want to be at the top all the time and you know everything, and that's the kind of stuff that you want to avoid. And you'll notice once you start to practice this stuff, if you're in a conversation and you suddenly feel yourself getting really irritated because somebody's talking about, like, I don't know, a new job that they got with a promotion, or they're making more money, or something that really triggers that emotional response where you're like, well, I'm not doing that. I'm behind. I have to do something to counteract that. And you might find yourself getting defensive. Well, I have this. You know right there, stop, take a breath. Take control of that emotion. Take responsibility for it and tell yourself, everything's fine. That's awesome for them. It has nothing to do with me. What I do with my life is my business, my job, my responsibility. You have to separate yourself from that stuff. We're all here like trying to figure out what we're doing. Nobody's here to try to hurt anybody. I think even when people do hurt other people, it has more to do with how they feel about themselves and the insecurities that they feel, that they have to even eliminate another person so that they can feel secure. And I think that's just really sad. But, you know, that's what I think. What do you think? Who knows? Something probably different. Everyone's coming from a different place. We have similarities, but we're not all the same, you know? So my other little piece of advice, self-help. This goes along with the workshop stuff. There's a million books on self-help. I'm going to tell you right now something you're not going to like. None of those books are going to solve your problems. You know why? Because your problem is not that you're not intelligent enough to seek out the answers. Your problem is your unwillingness to look into your own eyes and see what's really holding you back, to really face your own fears and say, okay, I admit it, I'm afraid of this. Because God forbid we admit we have a fear that makes us just weak. And really it doesn't. It just opens you up a little bit. And who doesn't like to be open? Most people. Open means vulnerable. But what if we were all vulnerable? Wouldn't we all treat each other with respect? Yes, one person can't make a huge difference, but if we can all do this together, it would have such an effect on the world. Everything would change. People wouldn't have this kind of defense mechanism at work all day long. You could actually feel free to express yourself. How fantastic would that be? So in school, you learn the lesson, and then you take the test. In life, you take the test, and then you learn the lesson. That's what people don't like about life, you know? That's what people don't want to do. They don't want to go out and try to develop themselves psychically. They don't want to do readings. They don't want to experiment and play little games with themselves because they want to know how to do it first so they don't screw it up. But that's not how it works. You can't screw it up. That's the whole point. You just do it. And then you go, oh, You learn after the fact. It's just the way it is. Let me just see who's in the chat room. Oh, hi, everybody. How's everybody doing today? I see Guided Truths. I see Trudy, Susie, Allie, Mary Lou Who. I like that. That's cute. I haven't posted a blog in a while. I've just been out and about a lot, not near my computer enough. So I'm going to try to do something like that this week. I'm probably going to do something along the lines of, life lesson type stuff that I get from my guides. Because when I talk to my guides and I ask, for guidance for myself, a lot of times it is stuff that's going on with people around me that also need the same answer. Like, yes, hi, Mom, everybody, my mother's in there. That's her, Pado 28. So please embrace and love my mother, because she's right there and she's like trying to get my attention. I have a couple of callers. I might be able to do a quick mini meeting. I only have 8 minutes. That's not going to be a whole lot. Let me see what I can do here. I'm going to have to use a deck that I'm more familiar with, just because I don't have time to do any consulting. When you have like 10 decks, you can't know all of them. Not all by heart. There's like 78 cards in a lot of these decks, and it's like, yeah, well. Okay. So let me just pick up one call here and see if I can get through a mini reading here. There we go. Hi, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to see if you can tell me what you pick up for me as far as relationships is concerned.
Okay. Have you ever called in before?
Never. This is my first time calling you.
Okay. I'm going to only be able to pull one card because it's a super short show. I used to do an hour.
Okay.
Not anymore. So let me just see. So this is going to be... Oh, okay. This is interesting. I'm using Dorian Virtue's Mermaids and Dolphins deck. It's really pretty.
Okay.
And the card that I'm pulling is Music for Manifesting. So I don't know if you're a person that's really into music or you like to dance or sing.
Yes.
But that's what's going to help you bring about your, what you're trying to get, which you're trying to find a significant other.
Yes.
It's a good example of doing what you love and having things happen as a result of that. So, like, for example, if you really like to sing and you decide, oh, I'm going to start going to these karaoke contests and just see, just for fun, to see if I can win one of them. And maybe you'll meet somebody there who also likes to sing, and you'll start to talk and it'll come out from that. But music seems to be, like, something that's going to move you forward. So I would kind of allow yourself to have some fun with that.
Okay, yeah, great. Okay, yes, because I love music. So anything that has to do with music, I love. So, okay.
Good.
Great.
So go with that, see what happens.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thanks so much, dear.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye. Okay, I got one more. My keyboard is not cooperating with me today. There we go. Can you hear me? Hello. No, I don't hear anybody. Okay, I don't know what's going on there. I don't hear anything. It sounds like the person might have muted themselves, so I'll pick it up again in a minute. But, the last caller had something that she wanted to know something about. It doesn't matter even what the thing she wanted to know about was. There's a woman named Carol Woodliffe who I highly recommend. She's a very, very... loving, caring, sincere, and genuine person. And her website is carolwoodliffe.com, CarolWoodliffe, as in Frank. And she talks about that too, about how just by doing what you love and going with your passions, you can actually find things coming to you without you having to sit down and try to figure out how to make it work. So, I mean, you'll be led to the right place, but you have to be in the right space. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. I don't know why that came out that way, but it did. Maybe that'll help you remember it. I'm going to try this one more time. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm
area
so
code.
Sorry.
Oh, that's
Hi,
okay.
Yes, I'm here.
So
I'm so sorry. I didn't hear you click over or ask for my name. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Thanks for the information. I think what you're sharing is absolutely correct in my opinion. And you sound like a person who not only has intelligence, but you have wisdom intertwined, and that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm going to be listening to your shows now because it really resonates with me, and I just want to thank you for giving out these tools and just beautiful information.
Thank you. You don't have any kind of question you want me to try to pull a card for you, or?
Sure. Yeah, I was wondering, I don't know if you could pick up energies, if you sense any negative energies in my home or around me, or a card or whatever comes forward. That'd be lovely.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pull a card because the other stuff is too involved and I have 3 minutes left.
Okay.
Okay. So the card that I'm pulling is called Accept Heaven's Help. And it says, you've prayed for help, so get out of the way and let heaven help you. I love it how she puts it on these cards. But, you know, it's true. When you ask for something, sometimes you decide what the answer is going to be. And if you don't see that, then you think nobody listened to you. And that's not the case. The spirit world is way, way smarter than we are. They know what's best, and they'll know how to unfold, how to have things unfold the right way so that everybody involved benefits. So if you've already done your praying, then just wait. Just be patient and see what's going to happen. One of the things going forward that I would suggest in your prayers would be to say, please send me the answer, or to please manifest whatever the right thing is for the good of everybody involved. When you use that everybody involved, it raises the vibration of the prayer because you're not self-centered. You're considering everybody that's involved because we're all intertwined with each other's past. Anyone whose path you cross, you were a part of it, even if you only cross it briefly. So anything you do affects a whole web of stuff. And I would definitely include that, you know, in your future prayers.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for saying that because I totally agree with that. And that's absolutely beautiful. And yes, I'm going to make sure that I remember that. Thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful day and blessings.
You too. Thank you so much for listening.
Oh, I'm so tickled. I'm going to be looking to see when you come on next. So I like you being so candid and really just speaking your truth. And the compassion is absolutely beautiful from what I'm picking up from you. And thank you for taking action. And this is a wonderful thing you're doing. So thank you so much. I'm glad I could be a part of it.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll look forward to talking to you
again. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, I have 1 minute left. Woo! My mom's in there. She says, Nicole always says to ask her for help and they will help. They do, and they will. But you have to be patient, and you can't mess with things after you tell them you want help either. Like, and you can't change your story and expect that, you know, they're going to be able to just hustle everything and change it all over again. That's causing confusion. So I recently had a friend who asked me, why can't I find the right partner? And the answer that I got was, you're not being specific enough. And, you know, he's like, well, yes, I am. And then, of course, the defensive part has come out in a reading sometimes. And it's a natural, normal thing. And I usually don't take offense to it. But, you know, when you're telling somebody something, you know, I want this. And then you go off and you do the opposite. Like, you want to just have a good old time. You know, what do you expect? You're not going to be clear. You're not going to get what you want. So thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you to my callers. I'm really, really happy that you could join me today, and I hope you all got something from the show. Click on that little icon that says iTunes, and you can get it downloaded straight to your iTunes interface, and then you'll never miss a show, because even if you miss it, it'll automatically update there, and you can listen to it on your iPod, while you're at the gym, while you're in the car. Let yourself get some inspiration no matter where you are. So I hope you'll join me next week, Monday at 11 a.m. Central Time. And as always, a walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. Namaste.